Earlier this week, Starbucks announced new financial savings and student loan repayment tools, but only for U.S. workers who haven't unionized. Michelle Eisen, a barista at the first Starbucks to unionize, the coffee shop in Buffalo, New York, she told the House committee that since the union vote last December, Starbucks has engaged in a series of anti-union actions.
Starbucks has no regard for our legal rights, and they will never stop on their own. In the last year, the union has filed over 350 unfair labor practice charges against Starbucks with the NLRB. The NLRB has so far issued administrative complaints against Starbucks in almost 100 ULPs alleging over 600 legal violations. Some of these alleged violations affected every Starbucks worker in the country. And Starbucks workers are not alone in this struggle. Workers involved in other large organizing efforts at places such as Amazon, Chipotle, Trader Joe's, and Apple have faced very similar union busting from their companies.
Since last December, more than 200 Starbucks stores have voted to unionize. According to the latest information available, none has yet achieved a contract. Union organizers say Starbucks is dragging its heels. Workers trying to organize at Chipotle and Apple have also faced similar anti-union tactics. Dr. Kate Bronfenbrenner is a senior lecturer at Cornell School of Industrial and Labor Relations. She said companies have an anti-union playbook with time-tested strategies to fight union organizing efforts.
While employers may adjust the permutation and combination of tactics that they use, its essential elements remain the same. Our data show that 74% use management consultants, 85% use captive audience meetings, 71% use supervisor one-on-ones, 44% interrogate, 32% threaten, 45% engage in plant closing threats, 49% promote union activists out of the unit, 16% discharge union activists, 23% engage in bribes, and 36% use surveillance. This doesn't stop at the end with the election.
According to the National Labor Relations Board, NLRB, it is unlawful to discourage or encourage union activities or sympathies by discrimination in regards to hire or tenure of employment or any term or condition of employment. But the NLRB is understaffed, and critics say underlying labor laws need to be strengthened. The House approved legislation called the Protecting the Right to Organize Act on a vote of 225-206 last year. It is bottled up in the Senate. The bill addresses the procedures for union representation elections, providing employees with the ability to vote in such elections remotely by telephone or the internet, modifies the protections against unfair labor practices that result in serious economic harm, and establishes penalties and permits injunctive relief against entities to fail to comply with National Labor Relations Board orders. It would also bar employers from requiring or coercing workers to attend so-called captive employer meetings designed to discourage union membership. Opponents include Roger King, Senior Labor and Employment Policy Council, HR Policy Association. He told the committee the bill would interfere with the 27 states with right-to-work labor laws by requiring employees who are not union members to contribute to the cost of union representation.
Now, you can argue back and forth about right-to-work status, but what we are hearing is that employees want a choice. They don't want to be forced into paying fees or dues to any organization, whether it be a union or any other third-party organization. They don't want that third party spending their money for social causes, political causes that they don't agree with. They want flexibility. And flexibility seems to be one of the key attraction points for qualified workers. And Indiana's done an excellent job of attracting qualified workers, and employers want to go where there are qualified workers.
Meanwhile, a recent Gallup poll said 71% of Americans approve of labor unions, the highest approval rating since 1965. I'm Pamela Strada for KPFA.